back, everyone, to the latest edition of the Monsters Eye View podcast. We are presented, as always, by our great friends at Main Event, and I am joined alongside Kaylee Lane, my co-host. I'm Tony Brown, your host, and we got a great show for you here today. First of all, Kaylee, before we get into what the show's going to look like today, here we are. We're at the midway point of the season now, officially. The Monsters are past that in terms of how many games they've played, but the All-Star break always kind of signifies that midway point. And with a little bit of a scare there, falling out of first place just before the break, the Monsters sitting pretty, still atop the North Division standings. It's a great place to be going down into the second half, into the home stretch of the year.
It took a little bit of time. It was a bit iffy these past couple of games, especially during the homestand, but I'm really excited to see where we are right now. I think this All-Star break is really going to reset them, and just hopefully we continue on this stretch. And right now we are in first by a mere 1 point. So hopefully we keep that going, and I'm just excited to see what the second half of the season has to bring.
Same here, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen on the show today. Coming up in our warm-up, we'll take a look at what was an insane series with the Chicago Wolves to wrap up that first half of the year. We'll also recap all of the All-Star festivities out in San Jose. We had tons of representatives out there, did the Monsters, so we'll talk about that. In our Talking Point segment today, I'm really excited for this. You had a chance to sit down with one of the superstars of the PWHL, one of the best hockey players on earth, Ella Shelton. She's got a connection to the team, but really cool interview, and I'm excited for our listeners to hear it, Kaylee. Great job.
Thank you so much. It was super great to talk with her. She is just so well-rounded, just not only as a hockey player, but as a person. She was so easy to talk to, super informative, and just with so many accolades under her belt. She's just such an influence to younger women and younger girls just starting their hockey career, and I'm excited for you guys to listen.
Yeah, and she's accomplished so much in her career already, and then to be in on the ground floor of the PWHL. Lots to talk about. That's going to be great. Then on the docket, we'll look ahead to the last couple of games here for the Monsters on what has been a historic homestand. Definitely a long one, and we'll talk about what's coming up. And then, of course, Kaylee's questions, and I'm not sure I'll even understand the question today, but we'll get into that in just a minute. As always, though, we begin with our warm-up. All right, Kaylee, I thought we had to talk about this Chicago series against the Wolves here for the Monsters at the end of their quote-unquote first half schedule here. So Cleveland is 26-14, 1-1 at the time of this recording. They're in first place, as you said, in the North Division standings with a one-point cushion on top of Syracuse. But the standings are really in flux, and really nobody's out of it right now. First place to last place in the North Division, separated by just 11 standings points. So anything can change. Let's talk about this series. It began on Friday, Groundhog's Day against the Wolves, and this might have been sort of a low point for the Monsters in the season. The Monsters, for whatever reason, just were not ready to play in that game. They took, as we said, a 5-0 loss. It was their third straight loss. First time all year they've lost three straight games, so definitely an eye-opener, definitely a big-time wake-up call, and that's saying something considering that the team was kind of scuffling heading into that weekend.
I just think watching the game, something wasn't there. Whatever it was, they were missing something, and clearly it worked going into the next game. Quick turnaround. We had a 7 p.m. game Friday, which was that 5-0 loss. Fast forward into a 1 p.m. start, pucks and pierogies. Pierogies have the power.
They do, yeah. Pucks and pierogies, that's what Cleveland does. We know that.
Classic.
Of course, the next day at 1 o'clock on Saturday, the Monsters bounce back with a game that, I mean, I was hoping for a good performance. I was hoping for a win, but 9-0.
I was starstruck.
Some franchise history happened here. Monsters tied an all-time franchise record for goals scored in a single game. They set a new franchise record for the margin of victory, and it was crazy. I mean, so many guys had huge nights. It begins with David Juracek. He had the first hat trick for a Monsters player this season and 4 points in the game. Let's take a quick listen to his hat trick goal.
The hit Juracek, the trailer. Juracek with two goals, fires one through Shield. He scores! Hat trick goal for David Juracek, and the Hats make their way to the ice. And what a moment as Juracek's got his first 3 goals of the season at this level in tonight's game. It's 8-0.
Well, that had a lot of people in Columbus excited, a lot of people in Cleveland excited, and he was far, Kaylee, from the only guy that had a big game. Owen Sillinger had 4 points as well with a goal and 3 assists. You had Justin Pearson scoring twice. 3 helpers for Cole Clayton. Love that. 3 helpers for Trayfix Wolanski. Carson Meyer had 4 points, 2 goals, 2 assists. Goal and 2 assists for Tyler Angle. 9-0. It was crazy. I'm sure you guys covering the game on the socials there were just going a mile a minute there typing.
I like to say it's a... When I go into Thunder Thumbs mode because I'm typing so fast. And at one point I tweeted like, admin can't keep up because Justin Pearson ended up scoring his first goal. And then it was just rapid fire. But not to mention, that was David Juracek's first three goals of the season with the Monsters, which was pretty cool. And just for him to get that first one, go for the second, go big or go home. First three goals of the season, hat trick, unbelievable.
And let's not, you know, let's acknowledge, I should say, that he was in, you know, the press a little bit leading up to this game after his most recent assignment, saying, hey, I feel like I should be in the NHL. You know, it was an exciting thing to see him kind of answer to his situation a little bit there and excel just as he's supposed to do at this level, just as he did en route to becoming an AHL All-Star last year when he was with Cleveland for the majority of the season. So a young guy, a great player, a bright future, but the Monsters love it in the short term to have his abilities on their blue line. And let's also add quickly before we move on here, Kaylee, how about that goaltending from young Pavel Chayan? He hadn't played at this level since January the 6th, went down to the ECHL, played really well for Kalamazoo, got into some games, comes back, 33 save shutout, the first of his pro career, and he's such a nice kid. You just love to see that smile on his face when he gets rewarded for his hard work because he was outstanding.
I'd be lying if I say I didn't have the chills right now thinking about it because I'm just so happy for him and he deserves it, especially with just such a decent chunk of time where he wasn't playing. He was just observing Jet and just always there as the backup. And for him to have this time to shine, we talked with Carson Meyer after the game and Carson was saying in the second intermission, they were all like, we're doing this for Pav. Mm-hmm. We are doing this for him. So just to see the team rally behind him and be like, no, you are getting this and we are going to do this for you. And then after the game, Nicole Del Villano, shout out to her. She was in the locker room, filmed it. And so Pav walks in after the radio interview with you. Silence, absolute dead silence. And he just kind of is like, hey, like, what's up? And the guys went crazy. He got dog of the game. He got game puck. He just, it's so well deserved. And like he said to you on the radio, I was with him when he was doing it. It's just such a good step for his confidence in this league.
Totally. And if you want to see that video, I'm sure you can find it on the Monsters social accounts at Monsters Hockey across all platforms. All right, really quick before we move on, I just wanted to put into, you know, sort of context here, because we've talked so much about Trey Fix-Wolanski and he accrued all of the franchise records offensively, goals, assists, points, all that. But there are a couple other Monsters players who have been with the club for a while now who are climbing up the lists respectively in their own departments. And I'm talking about the other two All-Stars, go figure, Jake Christensen and Jet Greaves. Let's start with Christy. He's now up to fourth in club history in assists with 87, trailing Fix-Wolanski's 107. In terms of points, Jake into the top five in club history now with 124 of those. So that's a big deal. And then on the goaltending side, Jet Greaves coming up on games played. Little way to go there. 41 more games to tie Calvin Pickard. So that's not something we'll see this season. But wins, 50 wins right now for Jet, 59 is the all-time record. So we're officially on Greaves' watch now, as we were on Fixie watch at the start of the year.
Of course.
And in terms of minutes played, that one's going to be tough to get to, but he's in the top five there as well. Saves, likewise. So Jet, I mean, you know, this is the American League for you, Kaylee. You sort of stop paying attention for a minute and you look back and these guys are climbing the list. They've suddenly been here two, three, 4 years and that makes a huge dent in the all-time franchise record book. So awesome stuff for those two.
To hear that just those two, Jet having his first appearance at All-Star, Jake Christensen's second appearance, it's just really nice to see just their growth in this league and how much potential they have. And I know when AHL All-Star comes around, they're like, okay, well, these big names in the NHL were featured in this. And it's just, it's really nice to see their start and where they are starting. And then say 5-10 years down the line, we'll see Jet Greaves starting goaltender for whatever team he ends up with. And we'll be like, we knew him when he started. And it's just, it's really nice just being able to witness this developmental league and just see the peak of their success.
And then All-Star wise, let's go back and just recap that quickly. The AHL All-Star Classic in San Jose, Monsters had a big contingent there. Trent Vogelhuber and then Fix-Wolanski, Christensen, Greaves were all there competing. But in addition to that, a big chunk of the staff was out there. Awesome experience, I'm sure. And you were following along on social there. The guys doing a good job in the skills competition. And the North Division did not prevail in the All-Star Challenge, but still, certainly from afar, seemed like an amazing week.
Yeah, and Jet tied for top goaltender of the event in the skills competition. He and I believe it was the Iowa Wilds goalie.
Jesper Wallstedt.
Yep. Yeah, 15 saves, and it was really cool. I ended up watching the skills competition because, to be quite candid, the game was a little bit late for me at 9 p.m. So I will say I was in bed, but watching the skills competition, it was just really cool to see us really putting ourselves out there and seeing Jet represent us specifically in this. Jake Christensen did Hardest Shot. Fixie was doing the speed skating. I don't know what they called that.
Fastest skater.
It was just watching it. I felt like a little like fangirl on my couch. I was like, there they are. Like, this is fantastic. And I just think that Jet deserves that accolade, honestly.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not an easy thing to be a goalie in the All-Star game, because the All-Star games are about scoring goals. Mm-hmm. And the goaltenders are usually just sort of like half-hearted.
It's almost
effort.
Like a prop.
Yeah.
At that point.
So, but great recognition, great performances, and they all represented the organization and the Blue Jackets organization more broadly really, really well at the event. So it was an awesome thing. That'll do it for our warm-up, though. Let's keep things rolling on the Monsters Eye View podcast. Coming up, we will hear from Kaylee as she sat down with Ella Shelton, one of the top women's hockey players on planet Earth. That conversation is next on the Monsters Eye View podcast, presented by Main Event. The Monsters Eye View podcast is presented by Main Event. Walking into a Main Event is like entering a new world of lights, music, entertainment, and laughter. A trip to Main Event is a chance for the whole family to reconnect, celebrate, compete, eat, and play. When you're with us, each and every moment together is the Main Event. Visit them online at MainEvent.com. The Monsters Eye View podcast is back. I'm Tony Brown with Kaylee Lane. We're presented by Main Event, and this is awesome. In talking points this week, Kaylee, you had a chance to sit down with Ella Shelton, who is in the Monsters sphere because she happens to be dating Josh Dunn. They both played at the same time at Clarkson University, and ever since then, Ella's just taking over women's hockey. I mean, she is the fourth overall pick, I want to say, in the PWHL draft. She plays for PWHL New York, scored the first goal in PWHL history. She's won a gold medal at the Olympics for Team Canada. She's won two gold medals at the World Championships, and just one of the biggest superstars. And what was it like to get to know her a little bit and talk to her? It was a great interview. I can't wait to play it.
Honestly, just to have our first guest of the season be Ella Shelton, how iconic is that?
Yeah.
And she was so easygoing, and just you could tell she loves what she does, and not only just about hockey, but knowing that she has such a positive influence on young girls and women starting out their hockey career. And not to mention, post-interview, she went to the All-Star game. The PWHL was represented, and they did a 3-on-3 game, and she said that she was on Team King, and she just said it has just been such an honor to just play in that league and just be, like you said, the foundational season, and just watch her just succeed and have all this influence. And she just said, seeing these fans so excited is just really what makes it. And getting to talk to her, like I said, was such an honor. But she is just fantastic on the ice and off the ice.
And just because we were talking about the AHL All-Star Game, for clarification, you're talking about the NHL All-Star Game in Toronto. So the biggest, most grand stage you could imagine in the industry, and Ella and the PWHL right in the thick of it. So without further ado, let's get right to this conversation. Kaylee Lane sat down with women's hockey superstar Ella Shelton.
Kaylee here with the unbelievable Ella Shelton. So lucky to be in your presence. She has just a few accolades under her belt. She is a member of PWHL New York, drafted fourth overall. No big deal. Three medals from the World Championship, not to mention two gold, one silver, a 2022 Olympian who snagged gold, unbelievable, and not to mention Clarkson women's hockey. You and your boyfriend Josh Dunn, who is a member of our team, both played there. Fantastic, we love that. But let's just start off super simple. So just playing in the inaugural season of the PWHL, what does that mean to you?
It's super exciting to be a part of the inaugural year. I think for me, like, being able to be a part of it just shows how much work, energy, and effort had gone into the past, like, 8-plus years for us to have a sustainable and viable league that's going to continue past my generation and for many girls to come. I'm just so honored to have this opportunity, and the first year is so exciting, and there's a lot of patience and, you know, evolving within the year as well. So excited to see how the rest of it turns out, and excited for what's to come.
So fourth overall, that is such an unbelievable accomplishment you have under your belt. How did that feel? How did you react? How was your family? Tell me all about it.
Yeah, the draft day was pretty surreal. I mean, they had a quick turnaround to kind of put this all together for us, so it was pretty exciting to have that. Getting to the draft, it was, I think I was hitting every emotion within like the first like 12 minutes of being there. You're very excited to be there, and then you see all your teammates from last year at the PWHPA and then your national teammates. So it was very exciting, and you know, there's always that chance that you could go absolutely anywhere being drafted. So I was just really excited to see where I could go. And when my name got called for New York, my family was over the moon. I was super excited, super jittery, super nervous. And walking up on stage, I think shaking Billie Jean King's hand was
unbelievable.
I mean, she's a legend, and there's no amount of words that I could say about her that could describe what she's done for women in sport in general. So be able to shake her hand was absolutely top five moments in my career for sure.
Yeah, and you and I were just talking briefly on air or off air, excuse me, about just kind of adjusting to New York. So how's that been for you?
Yeah, I mean, I come from a really small town in southern Ontario, so to go to the concrete jungle has been pretty crazy. Luckily, we are outside of the city. We're in Stamford, Connecticut, so there's patches of grass more regularly than just concrete. But I love it. The adjustment has been super simple and super seamless for me. A lot of my teammates I know, and we have a really special group. We have a fun group and a well tight-knit group, which makes all that transition super, super comfortable. And I think for all of us, it's such a new area, and we're all kind of navigating that together, which makes it that much easier and that much more fun. So,
and not to mention, I was just kind of looking through the Instagram. Your goalies pads are unbelievable.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Our team colors and the creativity our goalies had in their pads are unreal. Like with the skyline and the Liberty and everything, it's just perfect. I can't wait to see what their helmets look like, if that's what their pads are.
I am just eagerly waiting, but it's super cool. It's always cool to switch the red and white for a little bit of teal in there. I love that. Yeah. So just women's hockey in general has changed so much, even in the recent years from when you started as a kid to now. Just, I mean, you're just so decorated and just such an icon for young girls like starting. So, I mean, what kind of influence do you think that you and your current position have for younger kids now starting their career?
Yeah, I think when I get to go to a game and look up in the stands and see a bunch of young girls, it is so inspiring for me to continue to do what I love. And I hope it inspires them to continue to do what they love. And if it's hockey, that's a bonus because I love that sport. But even if it's soccer or basketball or in the arts or sciences, whatever it might be, I hope those little girls just see us chasing our dreams and making a reality out of it, and that they can also do the same thing and take it to that next level.
And it gives me chills to think about. I remember when the first game happened, someone posted a picture of someone in the stands with a sign, and it was an older woman, and it just said, "We did it." Yeah. And I sat there and I was like, oh my gosh, like we actually did it. That's phenomenal. But something I would love to talk about, you have a very great social media presence, TikTok. I'm sure you guys have probably seen her on TikTok. So how do you think social media is just playing an influential role in spreading the word about the PWHL and women's hockey in general?
Yeah, I think visibility was one of our things that we struggled with and struggle with still as women's athletes. So I think having a presence on social media and being able to connect with the general population in a larger spectrum allows us to really get our name out there, get our brand out there, and really help people connect to the content that we share. I think it shows the other side of us more than just the athlete side, so that personable side that they can connect with, whether it's farming that I post or whether it's just hockey things or funny things with my dogs, whatever it might be. I think those little girls and boys that they get to watch that and go, yeah, I like her. I want to be like her.
And that's just, it's amazing to be just where you are now and just play that pivotal role in who they are. And like you said, they can know you outside of hockey. And as a content creator myself, just for the team, that's so important to be like, these people are someone outside of hockey. Let's showcase their personalities. And it's just super cool. Like, you are so authentically you. And that's what people love. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. And we love it. But let's get into some fun. Okay. So your boyfriend, Josh Dunn, is on our team, and we love Dunner. Great guy. He's a great player. So I do have a question. Okay. So who would win in a one-on-one?
Ooh. Okay, so actually Josh and I did a couple summer skates together, and every time we played one-on-one, I would always go against him because I didn't want any other girl to be, like, against him and lose, where I can take losing. Josh, I think, is a little more competitive than myself, but I'm going to say I would win it. I feel like I'm really good defensively, and then I'll just shut him down. Although he has a really big body that he could probably muscle me off the puck, but on a straight one-on-one, maybe I would keep up with them, I like to think.
And that's what, when I was just kind of like prepping for this, I was looking, and you're a defenseman, yes. And he is a forward, so at first I was like, wait, so like who could defend better? But I'm like, all right, wait, hold up, she would naturally,
right?
But I just think that it's so cool that you both started kind of like the intensity of your career both at Clarkson University. Yeah. Fantastic, you both played hockey there. But I know you said, so is Josh more competitive?
I would say yes. When it comes to like board games and stuff as well, I feel like Josh gets a little bit more edgy than I do. We both grew up in a big family. I have brothers. He's got a lot of sisters. So that competitive side, I would say, is deep in us. But he definitely takes the losses maybe a little harder than I do.
Now, are you, I know you just said you had brothers and Josh has all sisters. So that's kind of like a fun balance. Yeah. So would you say that did any of your siblings play hockey, or was it just you?
All my siblings played hockey. Whatever my older brothers did, I did the exact same. My oldest brother, he actually went on to play soccer competitively, and then I was the only one that took on the profession of hockey. So we all played, we all love it, but I guess I had a deeper passion for it.
I mean, clearly. And all these awards and accolades, you should be so proud of yourself just paving the way for women's hockey. Just phenomenal to see this day and age how much of an impact you have. Now, just to close out, so what would be your best piece of advice to young girls starting their career and wanting to get to exactly where you are today?
I would say the biggest thing is to dream big. That's one thing I always tell people. Like, if your dream is larger than life and it scares you, it means you're on the right track and following something that you love. I think if you go to work every day and it's fun, exciting, and you want to be there, you also know you're in the right spot. And then my last thing is, like, don't rush into it. You're still a kid, and try out so many different things. You have no idea. Maybe by your teens or late teens, early 20s, you have that passion and you know what you want to continue to do. So, keep your options open and never doubt yourself.
We love to hear it. Thank you so much for joining us. You are actually our first guest on the podcast this
awesome.
Season. So thank you so much. We are so appreciative, and we are just so thankful for the impact you have on women's hockey.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Kaylee, that was incredible. Again, great job with the interview. Great job scoring the interview. And Ella, I thought, was outstanding. I just think it's so cool to think of being on the ground floor of a new league. Imagine that, a six-team league. I mean, the NHL was a six-team league once upon a time, and you get to sort of be a part of that foundation. It has to feel like an immortal thing that she's in the middle of right now.
She's just a superstar and just setting the tone, and she is just unbelievable, just an influence. I feel like speechless even describing it, because it was just amazing to see, and I'm so excited to see where this league goes and where she is a couple years down the road.
Really good stuff, but we got to keep things moving here on the podcast. We're going to take one more quick break. We'll come back. We'll see what's on the docket with some upcoming Monsters games as they cap off what has been a historic 10-game homestand, the longest in club history. Those details plus Kaylee's questions coming up on the Monsters Eye View podcast. Stay with us. We're presented by Main Event. The Monsters Eye View podcast is presented by Main Event. Walking into a Main Event is like entering a new world of lights, music, entertainment, and laughter. A trip to Main Event is a chance for the whole family to reconnect, celebrate, compete, eat, and play. When you're with us, each and every moment together is the Main Event. Visit them online at MainEvent.com. Back on the Monsters Eye View podcast presented by Main Event, it is time now to see what's on the docket for the Monsters. Alongside Kaylee Lane, I am Tony Brown. And Kaylee, we got three more games in this homestand that feels like it'll never end. I kind of wish it would never end, but we're going to have to get back on the road eventually. But we are back in action, or the Monsters are, Friday, February the 9th. So this weekend features First Responders Night, courtesy of Physicians Ambulance, and a 1-2-3 Friday as well, as Cleveland hosts their old captain, Zach Dalpe, and the Charlotte Checkers here. And then the following night, Kaylee, this is a big one. Saturday, February the 10th, 7 o'clock, the Checkers in again for
Trey Fixolanski bobblehead night.
Boom. presented by Dominion Energy. First 5,000 fans take home that bobblehead. You guys did an awesome video regarding Trey seeing the bobblehead for the first time. And I'm not just saying this. I think it's one of the best I've ever seen in terms of actually looking like the guy.
100%.
It looks like Trey, and it's his signature celebration. It's an awesome piece.
Yeah, and on top of the giveaway, there will be one at Team Shop that is available for purchase if you do not make it to the game early enough. Go check that out, Monsters Team Shop, Center Ice. There's multiple locations on the concourse, and check them out online as well at monstersteamshop.com.
There you go. And then not to be forgotten, the capper of this 10-game homestand comes up Tuesday, February the 13th. Not Valentine's, but Galentine's Day for the Monsters.
Absolutely. I mean, you got to spread the love somehow, and hopefully we're going to spread it with a big W.
Yep, and we'll see what happens. That's Tuesday, February the 13th. So three more games in this homestand for the Monsters that is stretched for nearly five calendar weeks, but it's all coming to an end. So get your tickets for those big games Friday the 9th, Saturday, February 10th against Charlotte, and then Tuesday the 13th, that game Saturday the 10th, Trey Fix-Wolanski bobblehead night presented by Dominion Energy. Visit us at clevelandmonsters.com and get your seats while you still can. Huge crowd support, leading the league in attendance, averaging close to 10,000 fans a game. Be a part of it by visiting us at clevelandmonsters.com and securing your seats now. We'll take another quick break. When we come back, the signature segment on the show, Kaylee's Questions, and we'll see if I can even understand what you have to ask us here today. That's all coming up in the Monsters Eye View podcast, courtesy of Main Event. The Monsters Eye View podcast is presented by Main Event. Walking into a Main Event is like entering a new world of lights, music, entertainment, and laughter. A trip to Main Event is a chance for the whole family to reconnect, celebrate, compete, eat, and play. When you're with us, each and every moment together is the Main Event. Visit them online at MainEvent.com. Welcome back one last time on the Monsters Eye View podcast, courtesy of Main Event. With Kaylee Lane, I'm Tony Brown. Kaylee, we've arrived. It's time for Kaylee's questions. These are the questions that get the people thinking. They get America thinking. They definitely get the players thinking. What do you have this week?
I even got the equipment staff thinking on this one. This week, you will see part one already posted on our TikTok. It is, who has the best on-ice sty? And when I wrote sty, a lot of the players went up to me and goes, where's the L-E? Why didn't you write the L-E style? And I was like, I don't know. I just like sty better.
This is a Gen Z thing for me, that we have to take one-syllable words like style.
Yep, sty.
And it's just the one syllable. We need to shorten it.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So from one syllable to one shorter syllables, the sty. So that means like the swag, kind of like how they're, or like their actual style.
Their playing style.
Playing
just
style.
On the ice. And I think they all pretty much understood, because I got a lot of Jake Christensen. You will see that. A lot
yep.
of people loved Christy. And who was it? It was Cameron Butler said that Jake Christensen is the epitome of a hockey player. And he was like, if you think of a hockey player, you think of Jake Christensen. So a lot of clout on that for Jake. And then additionally, yeah, another, what is it, Gen Z thing?
I don't even know anymore. I just know I'm too old for any of it.
A lot of clout for Jake on that. And then Luca Del Valbelluz got a lot
okay.
of love.
Yeah, I could see that. So anybody else or just those two?
Mikhail Pucha, he got a fixie, said him, and then you'll see it in part one. David Juracek's in the background, and he goes, well, what about me? And Fixie said his runner-up was David Juracek.
Okay.
But that was pretty much the depth of it. We got a bit of Fixie in there, but of course you guys will have to watch part two. Some of the players actually stood in front of the camera and stared back at who was still on the ice to really think about this one.
Right.
To watch, even post-practice.
This is important stuff they need to really hone in on. I will say with Fixie and Jiří, they both definitely are in that category with their celebrations. That's
100%.
For sure. Fixie's got numerous signature sellies, but
classic.
The one that I always remember with Juracek was last year in Laval, early in the season, he had his first like really big game, and I think it was that game where the Monsters scored like five goals
and
in the second
tied
period.
A record or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
And Jiří scores the game-winning goal and does this like air guitar celebration, which the Rocket players hated. And then the next day, it was a hard-fought game, and Laval won that game, and their goaltender Kevin Poulin immediately goes with the air guitar to troll him back. So that was great, but no shortage of sty
Thank you.
On ice
Thank you.
For the guys this year. Kaylee, great job. I mean, this is journalism.
Absolutely.
If anyone out there is wondering, this is journalism. Great job.
Thank you so much. And don't forget, if you guys Google hockey player, just know Cameron Beller says that Jake Christensen's photo will come up because he is the quote-unquote epitome of a hockey player. But to get more on this question, we will be posting part two soon enough. And don't forget, if you guys want to see part two, follow us on all socials at Monsters Hockey.
There you go. That is Kaylee Lane. I am Tony Brown. This has been the Monsters Eye View Podcast. We'll be back with plenty more great stuff throughout the season. But that's it for this episode. Thank yous go out certainly to my co-host Kaylee and to our sponsors at Main Event, but also to you for listening, subscribing, and making the podcast what it is. Until next time, for Kaylee Lane, I'm Tony Brown. This has been the Monsters Eye View Podcast presented by Main Event.